Again, I'd like to welcome everyone to the room tonight. And at this point, we are going to open up the room to questions or comments that you may have. If you're listening through Pal Talk, you can raise your hand. And when prompted by the moderator, enter your question into the text, and the moderator will relay it to us in this room. If you're listening through your phone or by Skype, then all you have to do is hit *6 and the number 1, and that will raise your hand for a question and also place you in the queue so that you can ask your question or make your comment, and I'll try to respond by going to the Bible. Okay, since we don't have as long for questions tonight, we'll just go right to the first caller. Welcome to our question and answer. Hello?
Okay, recently,
yes, hello.
You mentioned the word Tari, and I don't know in what context.
The word what?
The tertiary. Am I saying that correctly?
You might be. Life. I'm not hearing it right.
Oh, tertiary.
Tertiary?
Yes. Wasn't that a name of a month?
Oh, Tishri.
Oh, Tishri. Okay.
Yeah, that's the seventh Hebrew month.
Okay. I don't know the context in which you used it. All I heard was it had a strong connection to Purim. Could you elaborate on that or further meaning?
Well, I'm not sure exactly where you heard that or when I said it, but what I probably meant was that Tishri 17 is the date that God gives in the flood account for the end of the 150 days. It landed on Tishri 17. The flood began on I'm substituting the Hebrew months. God doesn't tell us Tishri 17 in Genesis. He just says the 17th day of the seventh month. But when we carry that over to our calendar, we do identify it with Tishri 17. Just like in Genesis, God began the flood on the 17th day of the second month, but we carry that over to Iyar 17. That's the second Hebrew month. So once we do that, that's our space of the 5 months, which is the total number of days is 147. And once we made that correction, we also found other information in the Bible that speaks of the doubling of judgment, then it fit in with Purim, because if we did not go back and make the correction to Tishri 17, we would not be able to understand the doubling of the 5 months of torment. It's only when we first make that correction, then we are in a position to see the doubling, because from May 21 through March 9th, May 21, 2011 through March 9th, 2012, is 294 days. Tishri 17 through March 9th is 147. So it's the dividing point, and 294 is 2 times 147.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your question. And let's go to the next person tonight. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi. I do have a question. Actually, two questions. I remember hearing you on Coast to Coast AM. Do you remember that? You did an interview before May 21st?
I might have been on there 2 different times.
Well, I know you did a lot. I know you did a couple things. But to get the message out, I don't know if – because they didn't – I remember the interview. I'm pretty sure they invited you back, you know, because they were mocking. But in this case, I'm sure of just like a short little, you know, you have enough preparation for their answers and questions they might give you because you deal with us 5 days a week. You can tell them. And there might be some elect or whatever, because that show goes all out, you know, all around the world and on the internet and everything. I'm sure if possible, if God allows it, you can go right back on there and tell them what the update is. And the second quick question is, what could we expect to happen when the end comes? Like, we were expecting, you know, it hit somewhere, and, you know, is it going to be like proof, or is there something in the Bible that says, look, these events are going to happen physically, and that's what we should expect, or it's just going to happen, and it's all going to be done?
Well, as far as I can see, it's going to happen as we've always, or as we previously thought, that Christ will come and the world will end. The penalty, the cup of wrath, is 5 months of torment, and then double it. So there was no physical punishment during the first 5 months, and so we wouldn't expect any physical punishment at the end of the second 5 months. That would not be an exact double. God has pronounced the judgment. It satisfies his law, so he will bring the end. Now, since the Feast of Purim is spread over 3 days, it's not necessary everyone be on the same day. I think it is necessary for the date of Adar 15, the last day of Purim, to be reached, or at some point that date should be reached, but not everyone has to be on that date. In the book of Esther, it was in the city Shushan alone that they rested on the 15th day of Adar. The other provinces rested the day before. And so that tells us that God could bring that eternal rest once one group of people reached that particular date, while another group of people have not reached that date because there was a rest over 2 days, 14 and 15. Coast to coast, back after May 21, they did contact me. Actually, a few media outlets did, and at that time, Family Radio had a policy, and I agreed with it, that we should not go on, and there was no reason, you know, leading up to the date of May 21, we were actively seeking to share information in any way we could, because we wanted to blow the trumpet and warn the people. And I remember one time I was on 6 different radio stations in the space of an hour, 10 minutes each, and it was something that I felt a duty or a responsibility to do. Now, afterwards, that responsibility wasn't there. We were also confused, and we didn't know what was going on. So the best thing to do was to not go out there, and like you said, really they wanted to set somebody up like a dummy so they could just knock them down, and we had no answers back then. But I was contacted, and I may have burned some bridges by not going on at that point. No one has contacted me since, but I'll pray about what you're saying and think about it, if maybe we could contact someone.
I'm sure whatever God's will is, but I understand the 3 days of Purim. That was, to me, in my mind, maybe it's just my thinking, when we were talking about May 21st and the timelines, that we would see, like, we would see it happen at the another part of the world as it would circle the globe and finally reach whatever timeline. And that would make sense for the 3 days of Purim, 7th, 8th, and 9th of March, because every timeline is different in the world within a 24-hour period, and maybe somebody on the, like New Zealand or Australia, they might be getting judgment as us in the East Coast or West Coast would see it coming. I mean, something like that. That was really my question. I understood what you said.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't think it's necessary. There is one day, like we were looking at October 21, then we had a problem because this is the day, and so everyone must experience judgment or the end of the world on this particular day because God didn't, we thought, say October 20th or October 22nd. And so there were things developed. You know, how can God fulfill this? And the rolling earthquake idea came in, and it seemed to solve some things. But since Purim is a three-day feast, and even the last 2 days, especially the 14th and the 15th, that solves that problem, actually, where it's not necessary for everyone to be on the exact same day for God to complete the judgment. And it really, I think, answers the question that there will not be a rolling earthquake. It'll not start over in the other side of the world or anything like that. It can happen. The three-day feast allows God to bring judgment simultaneously where everyone is on the same feast. And so it can be immediate. And like the Bible says, in the blink of an eye, or the twinkling of an eye, it can all take place. But thank you for your comments. Let's go to the next person tonight. Welcome to our question and answer.
Hi, Chris.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, my question, Chris, is I can research it myself, but I guess I'll ask you first. Old Testament Israel, when they had their Passover, I thought it was only 1 or 2 days, but it seems like the Passover that the Jews celebrate today is over a 7 to 8 day period.
Yeah, right. That's because of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is held in conjunction with Passover. And actually, the Feast of Unleavened Bread itself can be called, and I think is called in the Bible, the Passover Feast. And that feast would last a week or 7 or 8 days.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for your question. And we have a question from Pal Talk. I think Michael may be having a problem, so he sent me this question. The question is, Sherv1, compare Esther 8:17 with Revelation 7:14. The group that became saved in the book of Esther are those that came out of tribulation in book of Revelation. Esther 8:17 says, and in every province and in every city whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. You want to compare that with Revelation 7:14. And it says, and I said unto him, sir, and the word sir here is the Greek word kuri, K-U-R-I-E. We would spell it, or I would. And that means Lord. Lord, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And this is the answer to the question, where did this great multitude come from? Back in verse 9, lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Oh, yes. this is, I think, a very good tie-in. This is what God is letting us know. In every province, in every city, the 127 provinces, which spoke many different languages, many different tribes, many different nations, that the Jews, the elect, had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews. This is identifying with Revelation 7's great multitude. But we have to just remember that they became Jews at this point when they heard this this proclamation through Mordecai. However, they had already heard the previous proclamation of judgment on the 13th day of the 12th month, that is in the fullness of time, the end of the world. And this relates to the people, the elect people of God that are out there in all the nations of the world that heard this message leading up to May 21. God saved them. He gave them a new heart through the hearing of his word. And many of them probably didn't even know it. And then as time has gone on, they will be acknowledging this in their life. God will bring forth fruit in their life, and in that sense they're becoming Jews. They're showing that they are spiritual Jews, that God has saved them, that they are children of God. Thank you very much for putting those two verses together. Okay, let's go to the next caller tonight. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Could we look at Matthew 24:38?
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38 says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark."
This verse came up last night also, and I've always wondered why he used the image of marriage as being something that would be prevalent mm-hmm. in the last days. And I'm wondering now if it's because the non-elect obviously would be doing this, but the marriage is actually a statement that you are planning a future. Meaning
yes.
You're planning a life together, you're planning children, when there really is not going to be a future. Would that be correct in assuming why he uses it that way?
Yes, I think so. This is, when we look at it, both eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage are fine to do. And we have to eat and drink. There's nothing wrong with that. And God is the one who instituted marriage, and he encourages qualified people to marry. There's no sin in marriage. God says the marriage bed is undefiled. And so when we read that of these things, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, it is put in a negative light. God is basically saying this was not a good thing for people to do. And we wonder, well, why not? We have to eat, we have to drink, and you've given us the allowance to marry. Why would it be wrong? And the answer is, in marriage, it does look to a future, but these things are part of our of normal existence or the carrying on of life in this world. This is our normal day-by-day activity to eat and drink. And we don't someone is getting married every day, but it is looking to a future. And yet The problem is that the world was warned. They were told in advance. Forewarning was given. Judgment Day is coming. And the correct response would have been like the people of Nineveh. When God sent Jonah, he gave them a timeline. God set a date. There's another time. God set a date. Yet 40 days in Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh, let's look at this. We used to look at this all the time, but it's been a while. So let's go back to the book of Jonah. And in chapter 3, Jonah began to enter into the city in verse 4, a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Now, what happens when you fast? You stop eating and drinking, or at least eating. You are not going about your normal business anymore. And it goes on to say, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And then the king makes proclamation that they should cry mightily unto God in verse 8, and let them turn everyone from his evil way. And in other words, the message of an approaching judgment interrupted their life. They allowed that message to interrupt their life. They were not thinking of the future in the long term. They realized, well, this is most important. It's more important than my daily activities, than my long-term plans, like eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. This is something that must be dealt with. I want to go to God now. And that's the difference that we read about in Matthew 24 in the days leading up to the flood. They saw Noah. They understood he was building that ark and what it meant. And yet it did not impact their life, in which they eventually went to God broken. They just continued living. And, sad to say, that was the case leading up to May 21, with just tremendous numbers of people, that the information did not impact them. Yeah, they might have had their ear perked up, and they were troubled in mind, possibly, but they just kept on with their usual activities. It didn't lead them to go to the Bible in a very serious way, or it didn't lead them to go to God in prayer, crying like the Ninevites. Thank you.
I see. One other thing I wanted to mention, I heard many years ago that the book of Esther was the last book that was allowed into the canon, into the Bible. And I find it interesting now that in these last days, it has all these final day revelations. So just
a
little trivia.
You're talking about when the Bible was when the church was trying to decide what was biblical or canonical or
right.
Non-canonical.
And
yeah.
I heard that many years ago, that Esther was the last book that was allowed in. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that may be. We of course, God is the one who ultimately put the Bible together and made sure that every one of his books is in and nothing left out. But we can understand why someone could look at the book of Esther, which does not mention the name of God. It does not mention the word Jehovah. And the word Jehovah is used thousands of times in the Old Testament. There's only 39 books of the Old Testament, and the word Jehovah is used over 4,000 times, and not once in the book of Esther. So Yeah, we can see how men might decide, well, this book, it's not holy enough. It's not religious or spiritual enough. And yet God is just everywhere in this book.
And in the very final days, it figures prominently, the last book allowed in. So I just thought that was interesting. So
yeah, thank you. And it was,
thanks, Chris.
It was the last Old Testament book that was recorded when we get to Esther chapter 10 or the end of chapter 9 into chapter 10, and these things are written in a book. That is indicating that was the last entry into the Old Testament Bible, and then there was that period of silence leading up to the New Testament days. But thank you. Now, why don't we just take one more caller tonight? Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Please go ahead.
Okay. I was curious. Is Mr. Camping still alive, and is he in agreement with all of this teaching?
Well, Mr. Camping is alive, and I do not know. How can I say this? I think God has His own purposes for. Obviously, it was God who always brings about things in our lives, and it, whether we're physically healthy or not, and it's God who has developed this particular situation, where for the first time in over 50 years, in 52 or so years, where Mr. Camping was regularly and so diligently doing the open forum and the Bible studies, that at this particular time, God has brought events to pass where Mr. Camping cannot teach as he was. Maybe he will in the time we have left. I don't know, but he hasn't since June of last year, and I feel that this is, of course, the will of God. It is all things are the will of God, but I think it's the will of God in the sense that God would have His people to go to the Bible, and in order to find out these things, and it's just God's will at this time.
So does that mean yes, Mr. Camping?
Well, in other words, I can't tell you Mr. Camping's physical condition. I can't tell you how much he's able to study. He's in California. I'm in Pennsylvania. And I can't tell you that. I do know that Family Radio, as a ministry, does not want to get involved with the proclamation of a date. They don't want to share the date of March or Purim. I know that. But I also believe that in order to set up this period of severe testing for all of the professed Christians outside of the church, that's one reason why I think that Mr. Camping has not been teaching. We've seen, Mr. Camping, this is my opinion, but Mr. Camping was a great source of insight into the Bible and a central figure in the sense that many different people had great respect for him, and they might even keep down their own opinions if Mr. Camping was putting forth what he was seeing in the Bible. And so if he's not there and if he's not sharing what he's seeing in the Bible in a daily way, and people are not learning this, this is going to allow what is really in people all along, that is various teachers, and believers that are out there, that their sense of guidance, their guidance system, it should be the Bible, and it should be, you know, being grounded in the Word of God. But perhaps they were getting their guidance from another source. And so now that Mr. Camping is out of the picture in a way of teaching, this is allow God to set the stage where all kinds of people now are going off. They feel no constraint to go with this particular teaching and that particular teaching. And it's one of the reasons why we've seen so much confusion amongst teachers and amongst the various doctrines that have been proclaimed. In other words, people we're all being tested, but this is evidence that some are failing the test, as some are teaching to go back to the church, or some are teaching that no man knows, and all these kinds of things. They more than likely, I would say, might keep more quiet about these things if there were still, like Mr. Camping and guiding principles coming forth on a daily basis from Family Radio. So, you know, but, you know, this is what's in their heart. And so this has allowed the test to reveal that. And that's one thing God tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, the day will make manifest of what sort we are, if we have the faith of Christ or not.
Okay. Well, I always trusted Mr. Camping from a very long time ago, from the early 90s, and he was very I've always trusted him, and if he's listening now, he's been in my prayers, and I think you're filling his shoes, which are big shoes to fill, very well. And I guess that's it. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you for your question. I'd like to thank everyone for sharing your comments and your questions tonight, and also especially for bringing up the Bible verses that we had an opportunity to read and consider. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow night, Tuesday, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in this room, and we'll just have a regular question and answer from 10 to about 11. But for now, I'm going to say goodnight, and may the Lord grant us his wisdom concerning his word. Good night.